This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. So now, concluding with our last session, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we will take those terminologies that are famous for the sciences, or famous in the sciences of hadith. And you will see that a lot of it is categorization. And it would be a lot easier had there been a blackboard or a chalkboard or something I could write on and explain to you. But bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we'll try to make the most of the time we have and along with the resources that we have. So firstly, in terms of the way of transmission, the way a hadith reaches us, there are two ways a hadith will reach us. Like we mentioned about when we were studying the science of the Quran, you have that which is mutawatir and that which is ahad. As for mutawatir, then it is that hadith that has so many narrators in each level of the isnad. And by levels of isnad, we mean the sahaba, and then their successors, the tabi'in, and then their successors, the atba' tabi'in. That there are so many narrators in each level that it is impossible for them to have come together and combined on a lie, or introduced a mistake, or take away anything from the original text. Meaning that had one of these three things been done, there were so many people who heard and narrated that they would have been corrected. So this is what al-mutawatir is. As for categorization of al-mutawatir, you have sometimes what is called al-mutawatir bil-ma'na. And what they mean by al-mutawatir bil-ma'na is that its meaning has become mutawatir. An example of this is the hadith innama al-a'malu bil-niyat. That this hadith, if you look at it in terms of its actual transmission, it is a hadith which is ahad. Meaning it doesn't reach the level of mutawatir that there's so many people narrating it. But on the tongues of the people, it has become so famous that if I said, you know, anything else besides innama al-a'malu bil-niyat, they would have picked it up and I would have been corrected and rectified. So this is al-mutawatir bil-ma'na or al-mutawatir bil-lafz. So this is one categorization of mutawatir. Now as for the opposite of mutawatir, it is al-ahad. And al-ahad, the definition it is given, is any hadith that doesn't reach the level of mutawatir. A very simple definition, but in order to understand it, you have to understand what mutawatir is. Now, as for the categorizations of ahad, then you have three main categorizations under ahad. You have al-mashhur. So when you hear a hadith is mashhur, we'll get as to what it means. Then you have a hadith which is aziz. And then you have hadith which is gharib. And all of these three go under ahad. As for al-mashhur, the way these scholars of hadith define it is that it is those ahadith that has three or more narrators in each category or in each level. So three or more narrators in each level. Yet it doesn't reach the level of tawatur or mutawatir. So it has three or more narrators in each level. As for al-aziz, it has two or more levels, it has two or more, or sorry, let us go back to al-mashhur, because if you go forward it won't make sense. Going back to al-mashhur, meaning that there are at least three in each level. Right, so if there are three and more, and it doesn't reach the level of mutawatir, this hadith is known as mashhur. But if it goes down to two people, this hadith is no longer known as mashhur, but it becomes as al-aziz. And the way you see this is that sometimes there will be three companions who narrate the hadith, and then you'll get, let's just say, 10 tabi'in who narrate from the sahaba, but from the atba' tabi'in, you only get two people. So in the first you have three, so that sabaqa would be mashhur. Then the second category from the tabi'in, you have 10. So this could still be mashhur, or it could become mutawatir. Right? But on the third level, you only have two people narrating it. And when you give a hukum on the hadith, you always look at the level that has the least amount of narrators. So if there are only two people at the third level, or at the level of the atba' tabi'in, this hadith is given the grading of Aziz. That even though there are 3 Sahaba, even though there were 10 of the Tabi'een, if you only have 2, it is given the hukum of Aziz. So meaning that if it has 3 or more in each level, it is mashhur. But if it reaches 2 in any point of the chain of narration, then it is given the category of Aziz. And then the level just below it, which is Al-Gharib, is if at one point or any point in the chain of narration, you get one narrator. And this is quite possible. You'll find a lot of the hadith, especially in the Tirmidhi, that you mention a hadith narrated by 2 Sahaba, and then you have about, you know, 3 or 4 of the Tabi'een, but when it comes to the Adba' Tabi'een, there's only one person who narrated it from all the 3 of the Tabi'een. So this hadith, he would say, وَهَذَا حَدِيثٌ حَسْنٌ غَرِيبٌ, meaning that even though its narration is Hasan, it was only mentioned by one of the Adba' Tabi'een. So these are the categorizations that go under a hadith. Now, in terms of a hadith, you have those hadith which are prophetic and those hadith which are qudsiyah, meaning a hadith nabawiyah, and you have a hadith qudsiyah. So this is in terms of who the sayer of the statement is, or the original sayer of the hadith. As we mentioned in our discussion in the sciences of the Quran, the hadith al-qudsiyah are those hadith that the Prophet ﷺ narrates on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as for the hadith al-nabawiyah, then they are the statements of the Prophet ﷺ. So that is one difference. And that is between who the original sayer is. Now, this is one categorization between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You have another categorization which is just between the creation, meaning between the 3 levels of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have another categorization. So, finishing with the first one, you have Ahadith al-Qudsiyah and Ahadith al-Nabawiyah. Al-Qudsiyah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Nabawiyah from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then in terms of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or in terms of men, as better phrased, then you have another 3 levels. You have marfu', maqtu', and mawquf. As for the term marfu', then it is all those statements that are attributed or go back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So anything that goes back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is called marfu'. And remember, this is all related or correlated to the category. Like a hadith nabawiyah is a statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and marfu' is a statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and likewise mutawatir and ahad are statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But each of them has a separate categorization. Whereas mutawatir and ahad, we're looking at the form of transmission. Many transmitters, few transmitters. In terms of qudsiyah and nabawiyah, we're looking at who said the original statement. Now, in this third categorization, we're looking at who said the original statement, but between 3 groups. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba, and the Tabi'in. So that's a clear distinction that needs to be made. As for the hadith al-marfu', then they are from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then sometimes you will see in the books of hadith, it says marfu' hukman, that it takes the hukam or the ruling of a marfu' hadith. And what usually is happening over here is you will have a companion speaking about a matter that he only could have heard from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. An example of this being in Ayatul Kursi, as mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari, Ibn Abbas mentioned that the Kursi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the place of the feet. Now this is not something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ibn Abbas, could have come up with on his own. And these people feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they would not speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except with knowledge. So this statement of Ibn Abbas, even though we don't have a chain of narration to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we say هذا مرفوع حكما, that it takes the ruling of a مرفوع hadith. So this is a subcategory of مرفوع. Now the next category after مرفوع is مقطوع. And maqtu' is usually a synonym for athar. And what they mean by this is that it is a statement of a companion. So when we say that Ibn Umar, he added the famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Kun fi dunya ka'annaka gharib aw 'abir as-sabil." This is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wazada Ibn Umar ala dhalik, and Ibn Umar added to this hadith in his own wordings, "If you come to see the day, do not expect to see the night, and if you come to see the night, do not expect to see the day. And take from your health for your sickness, and from your life for your death." So this statement at the end of the hadith, which is found in Imam Nawawi's 40, this added statement of Ibn Umar is what you would call a maqtu' hadith, or something, or a maqtu' statement, meaning that it only goes back to a sahabi and not to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then, actually, I think I just mawquf, ahsan. The that which goes back to the sahabi is mawquf. So fix that up, inshallah. As you know, time and story start to go quicker and things start to overlap themselves. So that statement that goes to the sahabi is called mawquf. So please fix that, inshallah. And that statement which goes to the tabi'i is called maqtu'. So an example of this would be any statement that you find from the tabi'i, the likes of Hassan al-Basri and Wahab ibn Munabbih and Muhammad ibn Sirin. All of these people are from the tabi'i. So any statement that you have of them, you would call it maqtu'. So that is a third categorization. Now, in terms, we will take a categorization in terms of acceptance and rejection. So this is a brand new categorization. Bain al-Qubuli wa Rad. So in terms of acceptance, we have two ahadith, or two types of ahadith. And those two ahadith, or types of ahadith, have five similar characteristics. So first we will take the five similar characteristics, and they are: it's the solid sanad, or the sanad is connected all the way back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam without any missing links. Okay. Then point number two is adalatul ruwat, or the trustworthiness of the narrators. Then the third point that they have in common is of dhabt. And this is where a lot of it varies. That depending on the type of dhabt or precision, the hadith will vary in terms of its authenticity. And then four is adam ash-shudud, that there shouldn't be any contradiction in the hadith, either in its chain of narration, when you combine all the chains of narration together, there shouldn't be any contradiction. That one person shouldn't say, "I narrated this hadith from let's just say Imam Malik," and another one says, "I narrated it from Imam Ahmad." Now if it's two different chains of narration and two different hadith, or just two different chains of narration, this is possible. But if it's the same chain of narration and one saying Imam Malik and one saying Imam Ahmad, then between the two chains of narration is a contradiction. So when you compile all of these chains of narration, there shouldn't be any contradictions amongst them. And that's what it means, that is what we mean by adm al-shuruf. And the last point that they have in common is adm illatin qadiha, that they shouldn't have a hidden defect in the hadith which affects the authenticity of the hadith. And this is something very precise as well. And we will explain them one by one, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. So in terms of authenticity and rejection, under authenticity we have two types of hadith. That which is sahih, and that which is hasan. Okay? So as for the sahih hadith, it has these five points. Okay? But there is an addition to it. The point where it says abdabt, the condition is tam abdabt, that it has to be completely precise, or perfectly precise. So the hadith found in Sahih Bukhari, all the narrators in the chain that are found, they have complete precision. And then also, in adala, they have to be, as you mentioned, free from bid'ah, and free from committing open sin or continuous sin. So this is the case of the ahadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. Now, as for the concept of bid'ah and ahadith mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari, what sometimes Imam al-Bukhari will do is, as we know, that there are different chains of narration. So to bring a supporting chain of narration, sometimes he will mention a chain that has someone who has deviation in it, that he will have some sort of deviation. So one of the rules that was established, that in order to quote from a person of deviation, it has to meet two rules, and we'll mention it over here as well. That those two rules are, that this deviation doesn't take him outside the fold of Islam. So let's just say he deviates from the early Qadariyah. As mentioned, they denied the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then this would eliminate narrating from him. He takes the same ruling as narrating from a non-believer, which is not allowed. And then the second condition that they stipulate is that this hadith that he's mentioning, it shouldn't be in any form or way related to the bid'ah that he's falling into. So, a Qadari who has a bid'ah of a minor form, meaning that he denied that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't control everything that we do, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't create all of our actions, specifically our actions. If he says this, then this is something that doesn't take him outside the fold of Islam. So this is his bid'ah, right? And he doesn't take him outside the fold of Islam, so after stipulation 1, he's still okay. But now stipulation 2, that it shouldn't be related to his bid'ah. Now if he's narrating a hadith on Qadr, we can't accept it from him. These are rules that were stipulated by the early scholars of hadith. And this is why that even if you see the life of Imam al-Bukhari or Imam Muslim using such people in their supporting chains of evidence and not in their original chains of evidence, or not in the original chains of narration, then these are the rules that they stipulated in order to use them. That their bid'ah shouldn't take them outside the fold of Islam, and secondly, that this hadith is not being used as a support for their bid'ah. So, getting back to the point over here, that the Sahih hadith adds two things. That in terms of adala, they have to be perfect as well. No fisq and no bid'ah. And in terms of dhabt, they have to have complete and perfect precision. Now, as for the Hasan hadith, where does it differ? It just mentions generally of dhabt. That if he has any form of precision, as long as he's not, you know, he hasn't totally forgotten everything, and as long as he maintains a certain level of practice, still he can't commit any major sins, and still he can't openly commit sins. But he commits the odd sin over here and there that people might know about, he will still be accepted in the Hasan Hadith. Or sometimes a person who tends to forget, and at times he tends to remember, he may be accepted in the Hasan Hadith as well. So now, this is the first categorization in terms of hadith which are accepted. Now, even in terms of the hadith which are accepted, they break down into further categorizations. And before we get to the hadith which are mardud, we'll break this down quickly. You have sahih li ghayrihi and hasan li ghayrihi. These definitions that I gave previously already, when we mentioned Sahih and Hasan, generally when the scholars mention them, what they are referring to is Sahih li dhatihi and Hasan li dhatihi. Meaning that in their essence, they are at the level of Sahih, and in their lessons, they are on the level of Hasan. But as for Sahih li ghayrihi and Hasan li ghayrihi, there is a small difference. As for Sahih li ghayrihi, there are those ahadith which in its essence are hasan, but due to supporting evidences, they become to the level of sahih. Is that understood? That in its essence, it is hasan, but due to its supporting evidences, it becomes to the level of sahih. And as for the hasan li ghayrihi, in its essence, it is minorly weak. That there is weakness in this hadith, but it is small weakness. And due to supporting evidences, it reaches the level of hasan. So this is another categorization. As for the second major categorization, which is the ahadith which are rejected, then I fear that we won't be able to get into it, because there are six categorizations and we have about 4 minutes. So even if I want to split up the time, it'd be like 35 seconds or 30 seconds for each one. So I guess we'll suffice with that, bismillah ta'ala, and maybe in a future event or a future lecture, we will take those hadith which are rejected. And having said that, I thank all the brothers and sisters who attended and participated with us over the past 2 days. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the knowledge we have shared with you today and in the previous days, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefits us with it, and through it we benefit others as well, and it increases our iman and our taqwa and our yaqeen in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And that having been said, we open the floor for questions and answers. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And we'll start with our brother over here, as I promised you previously.
He was opposing the fact that Sunnah from the Sunnah and take all the hadith. And I mentioned the hadith of
the authenticity of this hadith. He said that's not a hadith. So what is the authenticity of this hadith? The authenticity of this hadith is that it is sahih. And that the Prophet said that I have learned amongst you two things. If you stick to them, you will never go astray. They are the book of Allah and my Sunnah. So this hadith is authentic. It's mentioned in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad with a authentic chain of narration.
Okay,
now this is a very touchy subject that requires explanation. And this is something we have to understand, that this is something advanced. So beginner students of knowledge should not dwell into the subject. But the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari and in Sahih Muslim are of various forms. As we mentioned, there are hadith which are muttasil and non-muttasil. And what we mean by this, that they have a chain of narration directly to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As for those hadith that have a direct chain to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Imam Bukhari says about these hadith that he presented them to Ishaq ibn Rahaway, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Yahya ibn Ma'in, and Ali ibn Madini. And through all these hadith, they only had issues with four of them. That out of all these hadith, they only had issues with four of them, and then I proved to them why these four hadith are correct and authentic. So in terms of the hadith which have a connected chain of narration through Bukhari all the way to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we accept them with our eyes closed. As for the mu'allaqat of Bukhari, which is a form of weak hadith, and what we mean by mu'allaqat is those statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or those statements of the companions or the tabi'een that Imam Bukhari doesn't mention any chain of narration for. Then all of a sudden he says, Imam al-Bukhari says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, or Az-Zuhri says, or Ibn Abbas says. Then these, we actually have to go back and look into the chains of narration. One of the weak points that is actually in the Jami' al-Bukhari, but it is not called Sahih al-Bukhari. When we refer to Sahih al-Bukhari, we're referring to all those hadith which are muttasil. And when we refer to the Jami' al-Bukhari, we refer to everything mentioned in the Sahih al-Bukhari. One of the things he mentions in Badr al-Wahi is the statement of Imam al-Zuhri, where he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became so scared and so overwhelmed with the revelation that he thought about suicide. He mentions this, Imam al-Bukhari mentions this. But when you look at how Imam al-Bukhari mentions this, he mentions this as a statement of Imam al-Zuhri without any supporting chain of narration, so thus it is considered weak. And now, you know, the scholars of Islam, they aren't dumb, they're actually very wise and very intelligent. So they knew that people would come and attack this aspect of Bukhari's book. So Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he compiled a book called Tawal-Ta'liq, or the closing of the Ta'liq, meaning the Mu'allaq hadith. So every hadith and statement that comes in the Mu'allaq form, Ibn Hajar provided its chain of narration. So even from those, there are very, very few which are weak. So that is how we look at the book of Imam al-Bukhari. Even though it's not just a yes or no answer, I apologize for that. Fadal Akhi.
You mentioned that the third most authentic book is Ali Dawood out of the six books. But isn't Ibn Khuzaymah's book, Sahihah,
Like we said, when we mentioned Abu Dawud's book being the third most authentic, it is in terms of the six famous books. As the Sahih ibn Khuzaymah, it is a book of hadith, but generally it's only referred to by the students of knowledge and the scholars. The average person wouldn't have even heard of it. So that's why we didn't include it. But in terms of authenticity between the Sahih of Ibn Khuzaymah and the Sunan of Abu Dawud, which is more authentic, Allahu A'lam. Like generally you have to keep in mind that just because something is called Sahih doesn't necessarily mean it is Sahih. Like sometimes us as individuals, we could try our best to compile a book of just a Sahih narration. But due to our lack of knowledge in the science of hadith, we may include a hadith which are fabricated or weak. So sometimes people also make mistakes. So Allahu A'lam, which is more authentic between the Sunan of Ibn Dawud and Ibn Khuzaymah. But when I made this statement before as the third most authentic book, it was out of the six. Allahu A'lam. Oh, the paper. I mentioned that we always have to answer the sisters. The question of the sisters.
After the adhan, we make the adhan.
Make the adhan? So inshallah, we will make the adhan.